It's a header on goal! And Jordan Morris has done it! Appealing in vain for offside. The Chicago Fire defenders, Jordan Morris, from the doorstep, saves the day for the Sounders.
Clear. A foot race the other way. Look who's running hard after defensively. Wayne Rooney, the net is empty. Big collision by the captain. That is unbelievable effort. Rooney putting one up. Acosta. Header. Goal. Hat-trick Acosta.
Paul picks it up. Paul's cross. Ibrahimovic. Are you serious?
It doesn't get much better than this, folks.
Hello and welcome to the Stateside Soccer Show. My name is Jordan. With me, as always, is Logan.
Hello.
And this is our 201st episode. We hit last week, I think we noticed this after, it was like the day after we recorded or something, was the 3-year anniversary of me launching the podcast during like the playoffs of 2020. Right before the Union got the supporter shield, all that kind of stuff. And then we, you know, you jumped on full time at the beginning of the following season, 2021. And yeah, I can't believe it's already been 3 years, 201 episodes. Pretty insane.
I was going to say we knocked out what?
I think we're like 40 ahead of schedule from what I was, I was doing like basic math of like 52 plus 52 is 104 plus another 52 is like 156. Right. So that's what number we should be at. But since we did all of those previews at the beginning of the seasons, these past few years, it's bumped us up an extra like 50 episodes.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially our first year when we did every single team.
I think we did that for both years. I think it was just this year that we started breaking them up a little bit differently.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, because I think once we couldn't do the second year, we did it by ourselves. So, yeah. No, I think that. So, we definitely, it felt like that first one was just a, like, it was like we were podcasting every night.
It was. First season. But also, it was good. Like, it helped you get more familiar, right? And I think as a first podcast season, full season of coverage, I think it was really great to be able to kind of familiarize everyone with us. And we got some great guests on that one and stuff like that. We're looking to have more guests again coming up here. Just been a whirlwind of a year for Logan and I at this point. So hopefully going into next year, more guests. I'm working out some stuff with more like local teams as well, trying to change up some coverage. It's been forever since I've done a closed pyramid episode, which I'm still getting to, by the way. It's just, like I said, been really hectic these past couple months here. So MLS teams, at least Philly, have started their playoff sales. So I got my playoff tickets yesterday. They were a little higher than I would have liked, but I bit the bullet. You know, I was thinking for a best of three, they could have probably had a little bit cheaper tickets, but it was like $59 a seat, which is not terrible compared to what the Orioles were trying to have me pay and like what the Ravens have me pay. But with fees, by the way, like $12 fees per ticket, which is insane because I just went through Ticketmaster for an NBA game that was only like $4 a ticket for fees, maybe two, whatever it was very low cost compared to whatever Philly was just trying to have me pay for fees. The fee stuff is out of control in sports and any sort of ticket sale venue, pretty much. It's just insane. What are the fees? Because, you know, I'm not to go on a rant here, but just like, what is that about? Right. I could understand it more when they used to charge you for like picking up tickets at will call. But once you start printing them or do the digital ticket, there's no reason. That's a $0 fee. So then the other fees are just for, I don't know, ways for them to get more money, I guess. But it came out to like $140 for two tickets to one game, which was crazy. I know it's a playoff game, and it's been a while since I've gone to a Union playoff game. 2019 was the last time, because 2020, no fans really. Last year, I couldn't get to one. I was saving my money in case if we hosted MLS Cup Final, which did not pan out. And yeah, so it's been a while since I've been to a playoff game. I'm really excited for it, even though the Union have been very anticlimactic. Just draw, 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 win, draw, pretty much is what they've done in the last bit, which is good and undefeated in that stretch. But I was just listening to Todd's episode on the Free Kick, you know, our friend Todd, who covers the Union and stuff. And he kind of summed up, you know, the vibes in that stadium for that draw against Nashville, nil-no draw, were just not really there. They weren't really great vibes either. People were clamoring for the pay Kai Wagner. What Todd had heard, I guess this got around, I don't know who started this, but somebody said that Ernst Tanner got into it with the fans, saying like, hey, you don't know what he's asking for, and just walked away from them when they were chanting pay Kai Wagner. I don't know. I just heard that today when I was listening. I was like, wow, it sounds like it's not great vibes currently. And today, by the way, and we're going to, let me just get it out of the way now, because it's not one of our main stories, but Tom Bogert and Pablo Maurer are reporting that Alejandro Bedoya and Kai Wagner are set to leave the Union at the end of the season. Bedoya has been captain for a while. He's been there for like 8 years now. I actually just bought a Bedoya kit today, the home kit, which I didn't have. And I was like, oh, I'll just personalize it, put Bedoya on it. It was one of the options. I knew he was already going to be leaving. There was no way they were going to re-sign him. But I figured he's been there long enough. He's a staple of the club. That is safe, right? That's going to be safe to wear going further. But Kai Wagner apparently getting some interest from over in Greece, which where Almeida is coaching currently. His team is looking into Kai Wagner. But also, he's technically going to be qualified for free agency, so he might stay in MLS. We'll see. But, you know, I just feel like if you can't pay Kai Wagner as a Union, I just don't know what you're even doing at this point. The team's going to take an even bigger step back next year. The depth that they wanted this year hasn't paid off. They're going to have to replace the depth pieces for there. They're going to have to replace Bedoya, and they're going to have to replace Kai Wagner. It's not going to be a great season next year, I don't think.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, just because I'd seen the Tom Bogert report. But, you know, just moving forward, I think I was just going to get your perspective on, but I mean, you've already clearly stated that you think that they'll regress, which I think that's pretty safe to say. I think that this Union team, you know, you were kind of, I guess, just peddling water at this point, and just kind of hoping that the team would stay afloat. And, you know, they sit pretty well in the Eastern Conference because they're still a decent team. And I think they can beat just about anybody when they're playing well. But like you said, they've been very inconsistent and kind of underwhelming this year. I know they were a team that was going to chase Champions League. They were going to be a team that chased U.S. Open Cup. Then they said, you know what, we didn't get either of those. Supporter Shield's out of the question. MLS Cup is really the only trophy in silverware they can bring home, and I don't think it's likely that they do so. So, if out of all the teams, Jordan, I'm looking at the Eastern Conference, I'm looking at the playoffs team. Hi, Hazel. I think that the Union would actually be one of those teams I'd pick to kind of get bounced pretty quickly, just because of their inconsistencies. If you draw in that three game,
they can't draw. They go right to penalty
shootouts. Yeah,
I mean, so that's the thing. They haven't been scoring as much. They don't have the playmakers. If they go up against Cincy, Nashville, hell, even Atlanta, I'm kind of worried about a 3-game set with them, particularly Nashville, really, because Nashville doesn't give up that many goals. It's probably going to be 0-0. And then you're probably going to go to penalty shootouts in each of those 3 games, or 2 if Nashville wins both shootouts. And it's just, it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be a fun postseason. I mean, like I said, if you can't pay Kai Wagner, and like I said, the depth is already not there. Some of those depth pieces are not even playing. They're not even getting on the field. And they're not, and when they do, they don't play all particularly well. This team needs a huge overhaul. When Gazdag's not scoring penalties, he's almost invisible, right? He's not like creating, he's not MVP caliber this season for sure. So what do, right? And that is going to be the question. Do you try to rotate him into a different spot and not play him as a 10, or like, what are you going to do? Are you going to have to bring in, like Todd suggested, maybe a backup number 10 that can come on the pitch and open up some avenues if things are not going the right way? Cause right now it's very stagnant and the subs are not really doing much. And it is frustrating because you see some of these other clubs going out there and spending the money. And even if Kai is asking for the world, right? If he actually sticks around at MLS, then that means that somebody could have paid him that, which means why couldn't have we? And that is the frustrating bit of it, I guess, is you can't, and we've talked about it so many times, you can't keep hitting on these diamonds in the rough. Sometimes they're just going to be coal, right? And you're not going to actually be able to turn around. And when that happens this year, they fell off a bit, right? Like every year up to this was supporter shield, Eastern Conference final, MLS Cup final. And then this year we're like, okay, then you're going to have to continue that jump and win MLS Cup. They don't look like they can. And if they don't, this is the first year of regression in quite a bit. And what that means then is where do we go from here? Right. We're already going to start losing key pieces like Bedoya and who maybe is on his last legs, but also just a good locker room presence. And then you're going to have to replace all of that. We might even lose some of the youth at some point, right? Jack McLinn is highly regarded. He might go at some point. We'll see. It's just at this point, it's not looking like a bright future going forward, unfortunately. So I was like, yeah, let's go to a playoff game while we still make the playoffs. Of course, it'll take a while for them to fall out of playoffs because of how many spots they give anyway. So I'm sure they'll be fine next year. But I just don't think they'll be the class of the East the way that they used to be. All right, there's our little Jordan's Rant Philadelphia Union segment. Let's go to the big news, which was some manager stuff going on this past week. Adrian Heath gets let go by Minnesota United. Logan, he was the only Minnesota United coach in Major League Soccer history, and his contract was up last year, and we were all very shocked that they even renewed him for, what was it, another 4 years, 2 to 4 years? He gets let go this season with 2 games left, which I know some people are like, why even do that? I think it was really just like they were done. They were done with it. And the way that this team played right afterwards, or they scored 5 goals, it's like, oh, maybe that was the right call to keep in the playoff hunt, which they're still technically in right now. But yeah, they win 5-2. We've been calling for Adrian Heath to be out for quite some time. They started off hot this year, right? They were like really good for a bit. Then they've plummeted. And I think they've been in the playoffs like 4 straight years or something, but they're also one of those clubs that have regressed, right? They used to be like, was it 2020, 2021? I think it was 2020 that they got to just so close to an MLS Cup final. And then Seattle turns it around and beats them to get to that final against Columbus, which they lost. But since then, they haven't even gotten close. They haven't even gotten close to that. And they've just been so disappointing. It really seemed obvious that Heath has run his course, and now he is out.
Yeah, as somebody that had to watch Adrian Heath coach before, it does. There becomes an expiration on every job that he's ever had. I think that a lot of it, Jordan, is that he just loses control of what's going on in the whole situation.
He also gets confrontational with the fans, too.
He does, yes. And he's always been that way. Like, he's always been into the headlines. He's one of the ones when they joked about them laminating results and stuff like Austin. He was also one that went after Andrew Wiebe, who does extra time. And the fact that you shouldn't have a head coach. I like the head coaches that step in and go, I'm sorry, I don't listen to podcasts. I don't, you know, I'm not in the media. I'm not trying to listen to what other people have to say. I know the situation here. And sometimes you can tell that they're lying, that they clearly do have that. But yeah, I think it starts the coaching carousel. I really wish MLS would break the coaching carousel, because I just hate how it works in England. And in Europe, it just seems like coaches end up coaching the same teams that they've managed before in a different stint. But again, I think you'll start this rotation of, you know, Adrian Heath goes somewhere else in the U.S., coaches for MLS teams. You know, they might look at, as far as Minnesota, there might be some different names. Now, I know there were some other interesting names that have been thrown around that I've seen as of today. But, yeah, a lot of interesting coaching moves. Jordan, I was looking, and when we were talking about the Union, I was kind of looking at teams, right? And you're looking at the standings currently as they sit. There's a lot of teams in that. What are we? Like, where do we go moving forward? Because, I mean, I'm looking at teams that have been really successful in the past. So you talk about New England, right? New England's got a decent core, a really good core, Carlos Heel. But, like, where do they go from here? Bruce Arena's gone. What happens to them? You've got Minnesota. They seem to have imploded, and they seem to be going in a different direction. Emmanuel Reynoso, he was, you know, very iffy to start the season. He shows up halfway through the season. They don't really feel like that he's going to be that crucial part moving forward. So I don't think that's where you go, obviously. You know, there's a lot of teams, Red Bull, NYCFC, same kind of thing, Toronto.
Well, at least Toronto has their manager, but yeah, they are. They just kind of been sitting, waiting around to see he's taken over at the end of the season.
Right. Yeah. Portland.
Yes. By the way, let's talk real quick about them. You're talking about coaching carousel. Here's some of the finalists for their position. Okay. Phil Neville. One. Why? Right. He didn't do super great at Miami. Dom Tarrant from former NYCFC. Ezra Hendrickson and Robin Fraser. Maybe Robin Fraser is the best name on that list because Colorado didn't really give him much. But those are all coaches that have failed recently at every other place they've been, except for maybe Tarrant. But, I mean, Miles Joseph is the interim head coach. He's also in contention. You're not going after bigger names than these? That's mind-blowing. That's mind-blowing. And then we have today, Colorado's linked to Jack Wilshere to coach.
He's coached youth soccer.
Yeah, under 18.
I mean, that's kind of like coaching the Rapids.
And I get sometimes taking, like, look, Jim Curtin had a lot of youth experience before he started coaching. It's fine. But you mean to tell me this is who you sought out? It said they had to ask Arsenal for an interview. So that means that they, for some reason, were like, Jack Wilshere. That could be good. I mean, you're not going after bigger names. Look at who Miami just brought in. Tata, right? I mean, that's a big name. He's got success in this league. You look at some of these other coaches teams are bringing in, and it's like, let's give, you know, our youth coach a chance, see if he can turn this around. And like you said, it's a carousel. It becomes a point where all these people that have been a coach before just keep getting coaching jobs for no reason at times. Wayne Rooney just left DC at the end of his contract. They're done, by the way. because we have an uneven number of teams, they are the random team that draw the short stick and doesn't even get a chance to play in decision day. They're done. They sit above the playoff line, but they're technically eliminated because of the weird schedule. And I didn't have any problem with this, but Wayne Rooney said he didn't have anything lined up, and then he got a job like right away. I don't have a problem with that because the place he had lined up still had a manager when he was being asked. So, I mean, it's common courtesy to be like, no, I don't have anything right now. Then they fire their manager, then he gets the job. Like, that looks a lot better than them having like this whole backroom deal type thing. So I know some people were butthurt about that. I have no problem with that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like if these are Timbers options, I almost feel like Savarese should have stayed. I mean, I don't know if any of these names make me feel any better if I'm a Portland Timber fan.
They make me feel a lot worse if I was a Portland Timber fan. Just because, like you said, Jordan, I mean, this wasn't like, you know, you're signing an equivalent. You're not. I think Robin Fraser, like you said, because he didn't really get an opportunity with the Rapids, maybe that's where, you know, Robin Fraser gets, you know, a couple of players in, and Portland does have a much better idea of what they're doing, I think, at the front office too. Well, I say that. On the field, they have a much better idea of what they want to put on the field. Behind closed doors, that's where it gets a little dicey. But, yeah, it is. There's a lot of teams, man. And this looks good for, like, an Orlando, which I'm still shocked. And that's another thing we can talk about, too. Orlando still haven't extended Oscar, which you and I have texted back and forth about.
If they,
like,
don't,
why.
He's got to be in contention for one of these jobs.
Right. That's the only thing I can think of. Like, I can honestly sit there and think. And Oscar's been one of those guys that once he feels like he's done what he's needed to do in a certain particular situation, he moves on, whether good or bad. I think Oscar's been very willing to take on new challenges, and I think he's the perfect person for it. I mean, the players like talking to him. You know, the press loves him. The fans always really get behind him. And, again, I think that's going to end up being a problem, but maybe he joins the coaching pool. Now, if your other team's out there and you're looking for a good coach, I think that's where you look and go, okay, well, that's clearly a step up from like the Ezra one is shocking beyond belief to me. Like, completely
shocking. You could
probably
say he hasn't got much of a thing at the fire too. Like, he was barely there.
They put in Shaqiri. I mean, they had all those guys come in.
Still not great quality guys, right? Shaqiri is kind of this player that,
I mean, your boy Shabelko was there.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, they're a team of cast-offs, really, is probably their problem.
That's true.
I don't know. The one that I really questioned about was, like, Phil Neville. I read that name, and I was like, now, like, yeah, he got Miami to the playoffs, I guess, but he needed, like, 7 DPs to do it. And, you know, it's that's a joke, actually, because I don't think that I think that was the season before that they didn't make the playoffs. They had that many DPs, but
and that was a lot lower number. I think it was 9
or 11. But yeah, I mean, it's I don't know. I could have seen when he had the connection with Beckham, but I just don't see a connection with Portland to be like, oh, and except for that fact that he's in the MLS carousel now, you know, it's. I mean, look, you can't always base this stuff like, look, Ben Olsen had been around. He had failed at DC after having some success back and forth, right? Open Cup, playoff runs, then very bad. And now he's turned around Houston. So maybe one of these guys will be able to do it. But, you know, I just don't know at this point. I would assume maybe Miles Joseph just keeps the job, especially if they stay in the playoffs and maybe do decent. They might say, oh, here we are. You know, that's what I would guess. But
do we know how many MLS coaches have now either left or gotten fired this year?
I think it's 8, which is a record, I think. I think Wayne doesn't count because it's not the end of it. Was at the end, and it was at the end of his season.
That's true.
But like mid-season firings, I think this is the record.
So the Revs, did Struber get fired this year? Yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah. Chicago, Ezra, yes. Neville was fired this year, yes. Yeah. Bob Bradley, 5. Portland.
Yep.
6. Loons, 7. Rapids, 8. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there could be more. Like, I think.
Well, that was a question I was going to ask you. Look, they said Josh Wolf is coming back. All right.
Right.
But which manager hasn't been fired, but should be on the hot seat by the end of decision day?
Greg Vanney.
That's a good. They're eliminated, by the way. Austin and
Greg Vanney, Peter Vermees.
Austin and Galaxy both got eliminated this past weekend. What was the other one you said?
Peter Vermees.
Yep, yep. He's probably. I mean, I think that
you and I talked a lot about him.
This year. Yeah. I think it'll all come down to if they. Well, I don't. They already jumped above Minnesota. Like, they can still make the playoffs. That's mind blowing to me. But I feel like they won't throw that away then, because I think they'll be like,
yeah.
Oh, we started off slow, but we almost made it, is kind of the way I think they'll look at it, even though you should probably look at it differently than that. But yeah, I mean, who else would even, like, you don't want to, I mean, most of the other ones I feel like are in pretty good shape right now. Right? Or they already fired their manager.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I'm looking at. I mean, I could see Gonzalo Pineda being in some trouble eventually, but not like imminent.
Yeah, I mean, they're sixth place, right? Maybe if they get totally blown out in the playoffs.
Yeah. Like, I did feel like he would be one that would be easy.
I know Atlanta fans are over him.
Yeah, but they're over everybody. Hell, they're over their baseball team. They haven't even gotten knocked out yet. They're the best team that's ever existed. So,
yeah, they play tonight, too. Today, they'll lose.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they'll. But, yeah, I mean, there really are. There's so many positions that could be opened up. And the thing that – the only reason why Greg Vanney and Peter Vermees weren't fired yet is because of their tenure that they've had elsewhere. Isn't that wild? Like, their resume elsewhere, I feel like, has built, or
yeah, yeah.
Like I said, SEC with Peter, like, their resumes and what's, you know, their, like, what's happened.
Before, yeah. Their track record. I mean, been, look, if Vanney gets fired, if I'm one of these teams needing a manager, I'm probably giving them a call, but they have to back it up this time. Like, LA took forever to back up anything and get him probably the players he needs to make that team turn around. But if I'm a team like that thinks I'm on the edge of it, right? Like, if I feel like, oh, if I can just, if I'm an owner or a GM and I'm like, if we can just put a little bit more money in, I can turn this thing around. If I'm a New York Red Bull, NYCFC, and Greg Vanney gets fired, I'm probably giving him a call, because I think he could maybe turn those squads around. But again, it comes down to ownership bringing in the players for him, which he didn't get in LA so far. I think they'll hold on to him just because of the new, you know, the new structure they have now. I think they may, I don't know. If I'm the new guy, right? Like, the GM that took over, you know, Chris Klein out, all that kind of stuff. I take over. I come from LAFC. I give Vanney, I talked to Vanney and I feel good about it, then I'm going to say, you have a year, right? You've had all these other years. I'm going to bring in the players that we've talked about. You have a year to make the playoffs. If you don't make the playoffs in 2024, I'm sorry, you're out. And he'll have other opportunities if that's the case. He'll, like I said, another team will take up the Greg Vanney situation.
Somebody's going to end up with Gio Savarese, yeah. Which I think is ultimately the biggest fish out there right now. Like, if I'm sitting down and I've got a team right now and I'm looking at all the fired coaches, I think he's number one. I do unfortunately think the Revs are circling the Tab Ramos wagon. I don't know what that's all about, why that was even a thing that became a thing. But it does seem weird that he steps into an assistant role. And it feels very much like what they're doing in Toronto, where they're kind of giving, I forget the guy's actual name, where they're giving the head coach for Toronto, because he hasn't really been on the touchline.
Yeah, he hasn't started yet. Removed. Yeah.
Right. So I think that's kind of what maybe Tab Ramos and, man,
that'd be rough. Tab Ramos, if you're the Revs, hasn't done you'd be like, anything in MLS to get a job. Right. I'm sorry.
What about Schmetzer? Like, is there anything there where maybe they feel like he's underperformed with the talented roster that he's had, or is there?
If so, that'd be like ridiculous. I'm sorry. He's won two MLS Cups. He's gotten a Champions League. I mean, sometimes you're going to have the down year, especially when you have injuries and the player. Like, look, it sounds like Nico Ladero's leaving. So they'll have to replace him. If I'm Schmetzer, he's from Seattle as well. I doubt he's ever leaving there unless if it's for something like U.S. men's national team or a European gig. Like, I can't see him being like, let's leave there and go to like Charlotte. You know, like he's been working with the team. He works with ownership unless if they fire him. And I just can't see you firing Schmetzer at this point. I mean, even on what they consider a down year. Where I have heard Seattle fans calling for his head, by the way. They're in third place in the West, 6 points off of St. Louis. St. Louis, who's had a tremendous year. They're only 6 points off of that. And, I mean, I could not justify moving on from that at all. So, I think it would take probably two or three really bad years to probably get Schmetzer out. But, you know, Seattle has high expectations. But I'm just saying, like, if you get yourself in the top four, I can't see ever losing your job. If you get to your team in the top four almost every single year, I can't justify firing the guy because that's giving you home playoff games every single year that gives you the best chance to win trophies. And he's won trophies. So, I mean, he would be the first one I'd call. If somebody got rid of Brian Schmetzer, I'd be... Even if I am the union and happy with Jim Curtin, I'm sorry, I'm calling Brian Schmetzer, right? Like, I would have to do my due diligence as a GM to try to see what it takes to get Schmetzer to wherever I am if he got let go. And I just can't see it. I mean, just looking here at what you'd probably want to do instead of getting the cast-offs is find a situation like Philly where you have Pat Noonan on the sideline and since he grabbed him, that's what I would be trying to aim for, is taking an assistant coach from a winner. That's what I would be aiming for. Good, not like the cast offs of people that have already been fired.
Right. I mean, and that's what a lot of the Premier League teams have been successful in doing.
Arsenal, Arteta. That's
what's becoming a trend. Yep. So I think any of the Pep tree, which is why I think in Austin will be interesting, because that is a Pep tree. So I'm interested to kind of see if MLS can start to do the similar things that, because again, the head assistant coach that's going to be sitting under Jim Curtin right now, or an Oscar Pereja, or a Pat Noonan, like it just feels like if you go in after their head assistant, so much of that is ingrained. Like your head assistant is an extension of you, basically. Like they would take a different system in, but it would definitely still be that similar system because that's what they're used to, and they've been with that head coach forever. So, yeah, man. If I'm one of these teams, I'm going and I'm looking at an LAFC. I'm going to look at a Seattle. I'm going in to look at these head assistants because I think that's ultimately where you could find some hidden gems and not just keep this. Like I never did get this, Jordan. I never did understand why. You know, and it never works out well, I don't think. Like, you never have these coaches that are these kind of just above average coaches plucked off and taken to another team, and they take this team to a whole different level.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, look, I understand. It's kind of like a Josh McDaniels situation, right? Where they take him from Bill Belichick, and then he fails. But because of his name, and the fact he worked under Bill, he just keeps getting jobs at every place, and you're like, all right, this he's not even that great, but he keeps getting the head coaching job, and it just keeps not going well. So Rodolfo Borrell from Austin, this is came over from Manchester City, said Josh Wolf is a very good young head coach, and although results this year are disappointing, we are fortunate to have a coach with his level of commitment and knowledge. I am confident he is the right leader for the team. Does that solidify Wolf as coach for a next couple years, or is it like, dude, you got to get this sorted next year?
I'm thinking with the injuries that they had, their defense, where their whole back line got depleted before the season even kicked off. And the way that the city managers and city GM and city front office have always spoken about things like this, like they're very willing. When they see talent, they're not willing to kind of let go of that. I personally think there's not much better than Josh Wolf right now. Like, Gio would be the only one that if he was interested in Austin FC, then that's where you make that call, right? That's where you make that, you know, hey, just want to see what it would take to bring Gio in. If that's the thing, then you're moving up, you're advancing, I think, into a better coaching style. Yeah, as much as Austin FC fans don't want to hear it, I think Josh is there to stay for a while. Like, I do. I think he is a good young coach. This year, man, like, it happens. Like, we see this all the time in MLS. Like, if Jim Curtin was fired at the first sign of adversity, he never would have been the union coach very long.
Yeah, he was at the bottom for a while, and I was like, hey, we can get Jim out of here. It's not working. Okay. But then when he was given more to work with, all of a sudden, right, he's a better coach too. He also got more used to the, you know, position and all that kind of stuff. So,
the coaching thing I always think about is if you can sit there, and I can do this, I'm pretty good.
You can coach?
Yeah, no, God, no. Have you seen my FIFA career? No, I would say the one thing I'm good at, that, and I think this show helps, is I can sit down and I've always been an unbiased sports fan. I'm not somebody that'll just drink the Kool-Aid because it needs to be, you know, but I'm also truthful. If you're an Austin FC fan and Josh Wolf decides, you know what, I'm going to go coach Dallas, do you really want that heat? Like, do you want to see what he does with Dallas? Because personally, I wouldn't want to see that. I would not want to see what he does with Dallas because of the year they had last year. This year, they were so depleted by injuries. They didn't have the same consistency from DeRussi. They didn't have any of the guys up front scoring goals. Like, there were so many issues in Austin this year. You can't do this to him. And he was so good last year with them. Like, I really did. I thought they were heavy favorites to go on and win an MLS Cup. But, you know, LAFC got the better of them. But, again, I just, there you go. I'm very high on Josh Wolf. If Wolf, says Logan, Wolf in, baby. Wolf, take Wolf. Like, if they're willing to, man, I really do. I think that he does have a good brain for the game. And so, I'll get off my – I love Josh, but I do think that and he had to deal with Claudio Reyna this year as well. Like, you forget that, so you factor that in.
Yeah, I think that's something you got to chalk into, is that before the season started, Claudio got fired because of, you know, whatever the hell that was, right? So,
I don't know who their owner is.
Yeah, Precourt, too. Yeah,
I've never been an Anthony Precourt fan, but
no, I've never been a Crew fan. Oh boy. Well, yeah, so that's something that is in my mind right now, is as we get closer to the end of the season, just all these positions and the merry-go-round of the coaches. Toronto have clinched Wooden Spoon. This is their third Wooden Spoon in history. They also got 2007, which was their inaugural season, and 2012. It is their fourth time finishing at the bottom of the East. 2007, 2008, 2012, 2023. Highest payroll in MLS as of the summer. So before the Messi stuff and the Alba stuff started kicking in. But they fired their manager. We're going to see what a Jonathan Herdman-led Toronto is like next year. but it just shows as well, you can spend the money, but it doesn't mean it's going to lead to the results as well. So yeah, wooden spoon in the bag. We did not have that. I think we had fire. So yeah, we had the Chicago Fire, who've been pretty good, better than we had thought. They are not in the wooden spoon conversation. They're actually in a playoff hunt currently, the Chicago Fire. Okay, and we also had what other big news happened? Well, we're currently in the international break, so we have a couple games on Saturday, and then there's also going to be a makeup game midweek next week, and then decision day on the 21st. Logan, your thought here, because we've got the dates now for the playoffs. And while we have a break here before decision day, then we're going to go right at international break. We're going to play decision day. Playoffs are going to start midweek that week with the wild card, 25th, 26th. Best of three starts the 28th. And runs until November 12th. We're going to have 2 weeks of best of three. MLS Cup ends December 9th. we've got quite a long time here of playoffs. They got to figure out better scheduling. I think we even have another international break after the best of three and before we do the other stuff. I mean, when I look at this, it's like maybe they could have started earlier or done a couple more midweek games to have decision day this past Saturday. And then the international break before the playoffs. Everybody gets rested up, blah, blah, blah. And then we start the best of three on the 21st instead is probably the way I would have gone about that. And hopefully they keep that kind of thing in mind, because to me, this just breaks up any momentum that they have going into it.
Yeah, this is probably one of the worst ones, because we don't have this in other sports.
There's no international breaks.
There's no elongated breaks, unless the only thing that does suck is when a team, like in a game seven, like a best of seven, one team sweeps and goes four and you have to wait like that. That does. But there's nothing you can really do about that one. And I'm sure we could talk all about the first round of buys that everybody has now for these first teams. So like, I think it is. This is tough. I get that MLS wants more games. I don't know, Jordan, if the first round is where I would put the best of three series. I think if I'm MLS, where I would put the best of three series is the conference finals. I would put, if you're going to do something like that, I think it would have been better, especially when you know the international break's coming. I think it'd have been more interesting, because then I really do feel like the MLS final, the MLS Cup, is the best two teams that came out of the conference finals.
Like, well, I think that's why they're doing it up front. What they were really trying to avoid is having the one seeds get bounced.
Thing.
Yeah, get the one seeds bounced by wild card teams. So the way to fix that is giving them all. They can lose a game, right? In the best of three, they can lose a game.
That's
go
true.
Out and win two, and then you get to the normal schedule after that. But I don't know. We're gonna have to have a deep dive of it after the playoffs this year. Of just, did it work? What changes we would make to this, because this will be the first time we really see something like this. And we thought last year's was perfect. And it kind of proved that when you have the 2-1 seeds get to the end.
Yeah.
And I know that's not as exciting. I know they added this for more games, because the way I understand it is that they're trying to have games every day from the 28th through the 12th. So what I would assume is some teams are going to kick off on the 28th. Some teams are going to have game one on the 29th. Some teams are going to have game one on the 30th. And then you're probably going to have games two on 31st, the first, the second. And then you're going to have game three after that. Even then, that's still a long there's still so much there. Are we only going to get one game a day? That would seem absurd. I bought tickets. I'm going one of these days. I don't know what day I'm going, but I'm going to one of them. It's just that's the worst thing about having series.
What's the deal with that, though? Because Apple owns those playoff rights, right?
Yeah, so they wanted more games to put on their...
Yeah, no, I know that. No, I meant, so why don't we know what seed you're playing what day? Like, that's what annoys me. Like, why can't
they probably could do something like that. I think what they're going to do is, I don't know if they're going to do it by seeds. I think they might do, like, the weekend matches being the big matchups they want.
Yeah, I guess so.
And they're not going to lock it in until probably, like they do on other days, like probably late decision day. We're probably going to get, here's the schedule for a wild card. Here's the schedule for the weekend. The issue is,
like,
we're buying tickets, not knowing what game it is. At least when I was looking at tickets for the Orioles and stuff, I was able to say, oh, ALDS starts on the 8th or whatever. I knew on the 7th of October what I was going to be, like, one of those, like, if I was looking at tickets, okay, it's going to be the Saturday. I just have to buy tickets for that day then, or make plans on that day. And I had that day circled. I don't know when the hell they're going to play the Union. Sometime between the 28th and the 12th. They're going to play game one. And I assume it's going to be at the front of that, so that way in the middle of that's game two.
Yeah, you can't play like the 10th, 11th, 12th.
Yeah, Joey was asking me, like, what if it's the 6th? Because I'm going to the Wizards game that day. And I was like, they're not going to fit in all three for the Union from the 6th, the 9th, and the 12th or whatever. No. They're just not going to do that. So we know it's going to be sometime after the 28th or on the 20th.
I just like how MLB does it. And I think that's where I get spoiled, was, you know, like 2 weeks in advance. Like, if your team finishes in this spot, they're going to play on this day. You don't really know what time because the TV channels have to figure that out. But, like, I do like the advantage. And I think that MLS should lean towards what the baseball does, where you have Eastern Conference on one day, Western Conference on the other, and then sometimes they interlap. Like, they're overlap.
Yeah, like four games a day. I love when they have the four games a day.
I like the – yep, I do too. The wild card series game ones are always a lot of fun because it's usually like, it's like noon and then it's like 3, 6 and 9. It's like, oh, this is a beautiful baseball day.
Exactly. So
it's kind of like opening day, but yeah, but I'm interested to see if anything really changes in this format. I'm also interested, Jordan, to see, and maybe there's a way to kind of keep up with this. I'm sure there probably is, but like just the amount of injuries and the amount of, you know, how much they look exhausted, because you're adding at least three more games probably to the schedule that most of these teams would play. So
you are also cutting out extra time.
That's true.
For at least the best of three. I forget what it is for the other rounds, but definitely for best of three.
This could cause some really fun games in this first round.
Because there has to be a winner. That was the only way to do best of three, is you cannot have draws or else you just have everybody playing for draws pretty much. So I think they did set it up right, and we'll see how it rolls out. I'm really looking forward to see how it works, and if it works. Okay, so before we head out, we got just a couple more things here to kind of talk about. There was a release of the off-season roster building events. You know, that sounds very specific. Wednesday, November 22nd is the club deadline to submit bona fide offers, except for conference semifinals participants. They get a little bit longer. Friday, December 1st is the club deadline to exercise options. So if they have a player option, they have to execute it by December 1st, except if you're a conference final participant. Wednesday, December 6th through Saturday, December 9th is MLS College Showcase. This is the fourth edition of it. It's going to take place in Phoenix, Arizona. It's a closed-door event where technical staffs get an opportunity to scout top collegiate prospects. Just think combine, right? It's pretty much what that is. Monday, December 11th is the trade window opening at 9 a.m. We get that fun trade window that's just on that day, pretty much, you know, where we get those random trade windows, all roster decisions will be publicized by the individual clubs. Tuesday, December 12th is the end of year waivers at 5 p.m. Eastern time. And then, so if they go on the waivers, then they end up getting entrance into the re-entry draft, all that kind of stuff. December 13th is free agency opening at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Remember, free agents are out of contract players who are at least 24 years old and have 5 years of service minimum. Thursday, December 14th is the re-entry process. These are the players that are at least 22 years old, minimum 1 year service, and are not eligible for free agency. So that is how those have, they have a stage one and a stage two. They're on separate days. They're a week apart. And then the super draft is going to be December 19th at 3 p.m. Doesn't say where it is. I don't even know if you can go to this anymore. I went to two or three drafts in my time. They used to have them in Baltimore because they're like, hey, you can't have a team. You can have a couple drafts.
Not beers.
Yeah, not draft beers.
Yeah, not beers. No. Jordan, it does sound like San Diego is going to officially announce what their team name is going to be. Over the off season, I think it's in the next couple.
It's actually it's Friday, the 20th.
Oh,
next Friday, and we're going to talk about it on the 23rd. So let me ask you, Logan. Okay. I'm going to give you two options for the name. You tell me which one you think it is. All right, San Diego FC or San Diego SC.
Man, these are unique. I'm gonna go with SC, Jordan.
Locking it in. Logan says it's SC. Locking it in. I'm gonna go FC because it's Southern California, and they're gonna try to say it's football.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna say Logan's prediction: San Diego SC. I'm really hoping it's not this. I'm really hoping they have something unique, like the San Diego Loyal, who are getting, by the way, obliterated to have this team. This is dumb. So San Diego will have their name, and I think their crest. We'll deep dive that when we get a chance.
So we're getting two Western Conference teams. We're gonna get them in Vegas.
Yeah, have they really locked in on Vegas?
I don't think they've locked in Vegas.
I think yet, that was like the front runner until San Diego kind of leapt them.
But are we really thinking they're gonna put another team anywhere but Vegas? Like every sports franchise.
I hope so. I mean, has Vegas shown that they'll go to games? I mean,
That's true. I will say
Vegas doesn't really want to build that stadium for Oakland, it seems like. So I don't know. It's kind of weird.
I think Indianapolis, I think.
That'd be so good. Bring in Indy 11. Would be a good one. Don't add a new team. Bring in Indy 11.
Yeah. I do think Baltimore has legs. I think that could actually be a team.
They don't have legs. They really don't.
They have crab legs if they won. They do have crab legs.
No, I've been trying to deep dive on those things. Actually, the team, the people that are kind of bringing the San Diego expansion were originally the ones in talk of bringing the Baltimore USL expansion, and then he left that in favor of San Diego. So that kind of sucks.
I just don't know where in the East you'd put one.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that the sad thing is they kind of want to put the MLS Next Pro team for DC in Baltimore. Nobody's going to go see a DC team in Baltimore. I'm sorry. Yeah. While I'll watch like the Capitals and the Wizards and stuff sometimes, people usually in our area do not like Washington sports in Baltimore. They're not going to care about DC United's. I mean, even MLS Next Pro teams get like 500 people anyway. It's not going to be a big thing. That's why I keep rooting for a USL team or something to happen. But, you know, whatever. What do I know, right? I'm just a soccer fan in Baltimore. All right, well, we have some clinching scenarios, and they are, where'd it go? Oh, you know why? I'm on the wrong browser. There we go. Okay. Dallas can clinch if they win versus Colorado on Saturday. There you go. LAFC can clinch a top four spot if Salt Lake lose or draw at Galaxy. Those are your clinching scenarios this week. If the postseason started today, you would have San Jose versus FC Dallas in a wild card, and Montreal Red Bull in a wild card. Those wild card teams would go on to face St. Louis in the West and Cincy in the East. You'd have LAFC hosting Portland in the first, you know, home game of the best of three. You have Sounders, RSL, Houston, Whitecaps. And then over in the East, it would be Orlando, Nashville, Philly, Atlanta, Columbus, New England. We'll see, though. I mean, Philly really needs to win against the Revs to make sure they lock in on that third spot. They can, I think, fall away down to fourth or fifth, and then they'd be playing a totally different team. And, yeah, schedule coming up Saturday, United States. We got some international friendlies playing against Germany at 3 p.m. That is on TNT, Max, and Peacock, and Telemundo. Then on October 17th, we have another international friendly, which is USA and Ghana. That's at 8:30. Those are also on TNT, Max, Peacock, and Universo. You can watch those. And then we have a CONCACAF Nations League in November that we'll get to, which apparently is now on TNT and Peacock. I thought that would still be on CBS. I guess now TNT has the Nations League rights too. Who knows anymore? Unfortunately.
They all own each other anyway. I think they all are Disney owned.
Yeah.
At this point.
And then on the weekend, we also have Dallas and Colorado. Like I said, Dallas can clinch if they win. Nashville and New England, that's free on Apple TV. That's at 8:30. And LA Galaxy RSL at 10:30. Then we don't have any games until Wednesday, October 18th, when Miami faces Charlotte. And then we have Decision Day with 6 o'clock Eastern kickoffs and 9 o'clock Western team kickoff. So we'll cover that next week. The current standings, we have some clinches, right? St. Louis, of course, is clinched. LAFC is clinched. Seattle's clinched. Houston's clinched. Vancouver's clinched. And Salt Lake's clinched. There's three spots up for grabs in the West. San Jose and Dallas sit above the playoff line. So does Portland. They sit in the 7 spot. SKC, Minnesota are still in it. They are only 2 points back of Portland in 7th, both of those clubs. Minnesota and Pookie went on a huge goal scoring spree last game. Okay. And then in the East, we have 2 spots up for grabs, which is the 8 and 9 seeds. Everything else is locked. Cincinnati, Orlando, Philly, Columbus, New England, Atlanta, Nashville. Those are your playoff teams in the East. Montreal sits above the playoff line. So does DC, but again, they've played all their games. They're eliminated. New York Red Bull, Chicago, Charlotte, and NYCFC are all in the running as Miami, Logan, are now officially eliminated from playoff contention.
Charlotte's got 2 games against them. They're my dark horse to sneak in because Miami won't care what's going on. Messi's not going to play. Busquets isn't going to play. Alba's not going to play. Charlotte has 30 or sorry they've only played 32 games. They've got the advantage. They're going to pass them all. I think Charlotte's going to sneak in. Jordan, that'd be kind of fun.
That would be fun. That would be fun.
Win 2 games. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you could have Montreal and Charlotte get in. I think Chicago would be fun. I would love to see NYCFC and New York Red Bulls not make it. They need to start knowing like sending messages,
missing the playoffs,
to ownership and stuff that, hey, this isn't working. Because right now they kind of been skating by. So if you're NYCFC or Red Bull fan, I apologize that that sounds mean, but I'm sure
there might not be any left because they're never in the stadium. So
yeah, I'm sure many people in those franchises fan bases also feel similar to me that look, sometimes you just got to miss to like get the thing turned around, right? Like, I don't know if they're gonna, this is such, look, Red Bulls were such a big team when I was watching back in the day. Bradley Wright, Phillips, Darion Ray, Tim Cahill, and they were playing in huge playoff games. They were threatening. Now they're like the team that nobody cares about. And NYCFC going from MLS Cup champ 2 years ago to just like this, like, non-factor is also mind-blowing to me.
Yep.
Okay, well, I guess that about wraps up the podcast today. Want to shout out some things real quick. There's a really cool app. This is not an ad, by the way. I'm just a huge fanboy. Called Momento. Look it up. Momento Sports Scrapbook. Apparently, there's a lot of Momento apps. But they used to be like this app about like auctioning soccer jerseys, game-worn soccer jerseys. They pivoted to now being like a digital scrapbook. They give you like a fake ticket stub, digital ticket stub. You can customize it with your photos of any games you've been to. You can follow me and Logan are over there on it. So you can find us on there and see our journeys as we go to all of these things. They have soccer, they have baseball, basketball, football. They're adding college basketball. They have college football. They're adding hockey. Oh, they have hockey. They're adding golf and like Formula One and tennis. But they only have back to 2012 right now for MLS. And I have a lot of games from before then. So once they start rolling in some of those older games, I have a lot more to add. But it's been a lot of fun. I've been having a blast with it the past week, like really diving in and trying to find all of these old memories and add my digital tickets. So just check us out over there. I check the app every day still, even though I don't have anything to add. Sometimes I'm just like staring at my mementos.
It is brilliant though. I mean, like every time I was sitting there thinking about it though, Jordan, I think back to memories that I have with my dad,
yeah,
with my wife, with my brother. Like I've been to games with my brother and you know, those memories I can vividly remember, you know, walking into Wrigley Field for the first time. The first time I went to an Orlando City game, you know, the first time that I saw a Pacers game live or a playoff game for the NBA. Like it brings back so many good memories. And I think that's what sports does ultimately. I love the app. And I'm not just saying that because it really is one of those cool apps that I wish was around when I started this journey so I could have kept up better.
Yeah.
I know I went to games that I'm forgetting. But man, it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy
it. I've been looking for something like this because I have the baseball one because Ballpark lets you add all that stuff too. But right. I was like, man, I wish there was one for every sport. And then I find this thing randomly and I'm like, oh, this is what I've been looking for. It tells you how many goals I've seen, how many home runs I've seen.
Yep.
And then they're going to be adding stats and stuff so you can actually view the stats.
It's going to be so cool.
Yeah, I'm really... Look, I'm a huge fan of this. So if you've been to lots of sporting events and you haven't heard of this app, check it out because it's a lot of fun. And, you know, more people get on it, maybe the more they start adding some more stuff as well. Okay. And then what was the other thing I wanted to say before we left? I don't know.
You were looking for a guest, right? You're looking for a guest for Charm City?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're also a Baltimore fan or want to talk Baltimore soccer and the history of it, or, you know, if you think it can sustain a team, reach out to me on the stateside Twitter or email. It's fine. Because I'm looking to do more episodes of the Charm City Soccer Cast, which is focused on Baltimore soccer and trying to get a team to Baltimore, or just even talking Baltimore teams that we do have, like Christos and Baltimore Blast, and you know, if you're an indoor fan. I've also been doing a lot of fun trivia stuff over on Twitter. Today I put up a trivia question. You can test your knowledge. Who is the only player to win the MVP award in MLS multiple times? And if you know the answer, you can go over to our Twitter and you can type it in and I'll tell you if you're correct or not. I also already posted the answer, but I always put sensitive, like a photo is sensitive, so you can't see the answer until you click show. So no worries about spoilers. I've been doing more immaculate grids and stuff like that. So just give us a follow over there if you like having fun trivia bits for Major League Soccer, U.S. Soccer. All right, I think there is something else I wanted to say, but I totally am blanking on it. We'll forget it. At Stateside Show on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, email us statesideshow@gmail.com. And we will catch you all next week when we talk the build-up to Decision Day. We're going to have to preview Decision Day. We're going to make our last bits of who is going to get in, predictions of who's going to get in, and then... after Decision Day, we're going to talk San Diego getting their team, and we'll preview the playoff matchups that we know we have. So thank you all for watching and listening, and we will catch you all next time.